Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuitive Life Tea with Angel, a place for you to sit down, have some fun discussing life, change, the interesting things happening across the New Age community, and some of those interesting people doing awesome work for you. Callers are always welcome, and I do enjoy answering your questions and giving brief readings on the air. So come on in, I invite you to sit down, pour a cup of great tea, and join me for 30 minutes of tea chat.
Well, hello and welcome to our Wednesday night show. I hope you guys are all relaxed and comfortable after a wonderful long day of work and excitement. Angel here. I'm here tonight. I've got my tea and I'm sitting down and getting ready to have a really great evening here with Dr. Donna Lee. Now, Dr. Donna Lee is an intuitive spiritual life coach practicing in the Northern California Bay Area. She's a practicing intuitive spiritual life coach with over 15 years of experience. She focuses on helping women heal through various energies, techniques including BEST and EFT, which I'm going to ask her to give us some information on. And most important, she believes that a person can heal only when they feel safe enough to face their issues without judgment and through forgiveness. So I am going to ask you all to sit down, pour that great cup of tea and sit back and give me a big welcome for Dr. Donna Lee. Hi, Dr. Lee.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show, Angel. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for coming. Is there anything that you would like to tell people about your practice and most important, talking about the BEST and EFT techniques that you work through that I mentioned when I gave you your introduction?
I definitely want to talk about my practice, but I think it's also important to mention how I arrived at this point of becoming a life coach, because prior to being a life coach, I was in chiropractic school, Life West, just a local school in my area, and I thought I was meant to be a chiropractor, but I was actually called there to learn more about spirituality. I started using my own intuition. I found myself coaching my peers. I got more involved with the body work and the emotional work, such as EFT and BEST, because in student clinic, while adjusting clients, I realized that a lot of them were very stiff. And it wasn't until they were able to release some of their emotions, either vent about their day at work or vent to me about a spouse. And I got into a lot of trouble with the clinic doctors for doing this, because I was supposed to just see the patient, ask them what they have, back pain, neck pain, et cetera, adjust them, and send them on. But I was spending so much time because I realized if I talked to them and got them to release a little bit emotionally, I could adjust them better. I was a student. I was still learning techniques, so I wasn't going to be a superstar yet, but I realized that it could be easier if I met the body and the spirit halfway instead of forcing an adjustment on them if they weren't ready to receive that adjustment, even if they needed it. So I finished chiropractic school. I got out. And I said, wow, I spent all that money. I learned a lot. I love chiropractic. I still get adjusted to this day, but it was not what I was supposed to do. I actually came into my spiritual self there. So I feel very fortunate. You know, it was a long route. And I think a lot of people, when they start going on a journey, they go the long route. I also went the long, expensive route. I make a joke, but I wouldn't change it because I came from a traditional family where you didn't discuss these things. You weren't going to do energy work, and I was supposed to be an MD. I was supposed to be very traditional. So my world opened up, my mind opened up, and it allowed me to attract people who were my peers that believed in what I believed in. It allowed me to start seeing clients who needed my services. So over the years, I practiced in a few places. I went to school here, left, came back, and so I've gone full circle. I'm meant to be in the Bay Area, I take it, and I started coaching, and where I do coach both male and female clients, the majority of my clients are females, and the majority of my clients had a lot of things that have happened in their life emotionally. You know, either a bad divorce, a betrayal, a rape, something happened, child abuse, and it has affected them, of course, as it would, from being their true self. Because we are born, although there's no such thing as perfect, we're pretty much born perfect, you know, innocent. We don't have any baggage, any pain. You know, there might be past life stuff, but we really come into the world whole, and then life starts happening to us. And we become overwhelmed because we start believing, which I learned from clients, that we think we're the only one with the problem and nobody else is suffering. We're just the only one suffering. So I started developing a lot of interest in body work techniques. And so I've used the knowledge of chiropractic, but I do more emotional techniques in office. And I focus on the actual counseling, but I've added best over the years. So I kept going to seminars, kept learning, became a master, had a lot of work on myself because I think it's very important if you're going to practice in a field, you must be healthy first so that you are there completely for the client. And where we're always a work in progress, I always, you know, do best on myself or have it done, or I do my own tapping for emotional freedom technique, which I will go into shortly. It's very important if you're going to be there for other people to be present, because one thing that happens is when you start working with people, you will attract people with similar issues that you have. And so you start mirroring, and you don't want to do that. You want to be fully available for the client. So I've done a lot of work on myself, and I continue to, so that I can be more genuine and be one step ahead. No one, we're all students, right? No one has it all figured out, but just to be one step ahead, to be there to serve my clients properly. And so with BEST, it's a spiritual technique developed by a chiropractor. He's now passed away, Dr. Mortar, and his sons and his grandsons have carried on the technique. So it's over 45 years old. It started around the time that I was born, and it's based on holding certain points, certain breathing, you know, that the client does, and thinking certain feelings to help a client to lose that fight or flight, because a lot of people don't realize when they have things that happen in their life, they may look calm, they may look relaxed, but they're stuck in fight or flight or reliving that trauma or reacting because of that trauma. If you're a victim of a crime, you may always look over your shoulder. You may be stuck at, why did this happen to me? You know, why did my parents not love me? Why was I abused? So basically, BEST is designed to neutralize those emotions so that a person could be more authentic in their life and have room for what they're really supposed to be, meaning relationships, getting along with people, being more creative. We're all creative people in one way or another. You know, sometimes we think of creative as artsy, but everyone creates in their own way. We all are born creative, but we can lose our creativity if we have trauma or hurt or, you know, issues because we stop believing in ourselves. So a big focus in my practice is to help people heal and forgive, and BEST does a lot with forgiveness, just like EFT, so that they're able to move forward and they're able to see that there isn't any obstacles, and it increases the self-esteem. Psychology says that at any time, 80% of the population may have low self-esteem, which affects work, affects relationships. It, again, takes us away from our true selves. When we have low self-esteem, we're all supposed to have healthy self-esteem. But in society, what has society done? We've told people that they're being boastful or bragging or having an ego if they love themselves, right? But we have to love ourselves. That is first and most important before we can do anything for anyone else or be a part of the world the way that we're supposed to. We have to love ourselves because we attract better, we have better connections with people, and we co-create better, and we do better with abundance. So self-esteem is necessary. It is number one. If
me. I agree. I totally agree. You know, that's amazing, your amazing progression from where you started to where you are now. And the thing that stands out for me is you you exclaim that most of your clients are women, and it's interesting. Why do you feel so connected to the passion to help women kind of find their own fulfillment to their self-power through your work?
I will admit to something. When I first started doing this work, I wanted to run because it was hard. And I thought, I have some psychology background, but it was hard. And, you know, when you start talking about forgiveness and healing, sometimes a client, especially a woman who's been through a lot, just wants to vent. So, you know, I've been sworn at, I've been yelled at, I've been told I don't understand. And trust me, I've been through it all. I understand more than what I want to understand. But I couldn't run from it. It kept on finding me. And so I started embracing it, realizing that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But in the beginning, it was very emotional because I was still learning how can I really help and how can I really serve. So I kept learning techniques, and then I learned emotional freedom technique, and I've added on chakra healing and anything possible so that I can individualize the treatment better, because so many women have been walking around for years feeling bad, having bad relationships because they feel bad, attracting, you know, the wrong partner, abusive friendships, dealing with abusive family members. I have clients who had to go home on the holidays and deal with their abusive family member. So they're being brought back into their trauma. But I just couldn't run from it anymore, so I started embracing it. And as I embraced it and felt worthy of doing this work, it got better and it got easier, and I felt more connected to the people that I help.
That's really, really cool, and I can relate to that. I kind of had the same thing. You know, you wake up to the calling, and that's really what it is, right? It's no different than any other kind of deep spiritual calling, whether you are called to work at the church or synagogue, you're called to do this path that someone like yourself or myself, you wake up one day, and you're called to it, and then you're doing it, and as it presents itself to you, it can be overwhelming, and your instinct can be to run. But it's just like, oh my God, I want to turn around and run in the opposite direction. So it's actually powerful for me to hear you say that. Thank you for sharing that. I want to give you an opportunity to connect with some people because we have a lot of callers. So I'm going to invite somebody, if that's all right with you, to kind of connect with us. And
yeah.
I got the first caller here. My technology did a technology thing there. Hold on a second. Okay, there you go. Who am I speaking to?
Hello.
Hi, who am I talking to?
I'm Mary Ellen.
Hello, Mary
Ellen. Hi, Mary Ellen.
How are you tonight?
Great, how are you? How may I help you?
Well, I was wondering, I've been having a few, I don't know, it's like not being able to move forward or not move forward, but you know how you just get feeling like you're in like a rut?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, just, I'm not depressed, but it's just like I just feel like I'm like running in circles. And I was wondering if it's any negative energies around or what's causing this.
You know, intuitively, I'm hearing that you have to give yourself permission to succeed with doing something more for yourself. It's like, it's almost like you feeling stuck is saying, I have to stay in this routine because this is what I know. But I actually get that there's something that you desire to do that you put on the back burner. And what I would say is that you haven't thought about it for a while. And so that's how this stuck energy is saying, it's time to think about it, it's time to come to the surface. But the first step that you want to do is write down 5 things that you would like to have different in your life. That would be the first step to get unstuck. And so you want to write it down, and these are goals.
Right.
And, you know, we're supposed to write down our goals every day, even if it's the same goals, but at least write it down once and look at those five goals and see how it makes you feel. And the one goal that makes you feel the most uncomfortable is the one you need to do first. And so it's not a negative energy, it's just that you're going through a spiritual change where you're going to get to do something more that makes you feel more alive. So it's something that you put on the back burner. It's something that you could have started a while back, but you put on the back burner. Do you know what that is?
Well, it's. I think it has to do with my career. With you know, we've been going. I've hooked up with this client, and it's been going back and forth, and it's making me, I think, a little uncomfortable because it's different from what I'm accustomed to doing. And you're right, you did say that. So it's just that I don't know how to approach it. I'm accustomed to approaching it in certain, you know, in like, you know, I do design, so it's how you set yourself up, you know, like your fee, your, you know, your steps into getting the contract and stuff like this. And this is a little bit out of the scope of how I normally do it, so it's making me very anxious.
Oh, so you're growing. We call it an upper level problem. You're growing, you're stretching, and so it's none of your comfort zone.
Right. And I'm afraid I'm going to make the wrong move.
Well, that's to write it down on a piece of paper and kind of plan out what you will say, because we're often caught off guard, you know, because we have so many things on our mind. We have 70,000 thoughts a day, and so you can easily be caught off guard just because. And so I would write it down and write it out and think about it, kind of have a strategy so that you're prepared for that moment.
Okay, well, that moment is supposed to be coming up in April, so.
Oh, you'd be prepared by then because you would have written it out a few times. You would have acted it out. And, of course, you know, it may be a little bit different when you're doing it, but at least you have given yourself a guidance instead of, you know, not thinking about it ahead of time and just hoping that the right thing happens. You're kind of creating that motion, so you're co-creating with the universe by writing it out and saying, this is what I like to have happen, and this is how I want to approach it, and you will get closer to that goal. And I would look over it, you know, every day until that moment comes. You know, just take 1 to 5 minutes to, you know, think about it, because you're also creating that energy to make it work in your favor more.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good.
Well, that was awesome. You want to call out Dr. Lee, your web address, and maybe she can connect with you to get some insights.
Okay.
That would be good.
Of course, it's www.drdonnalee.com. So it's drdonnalee.com.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty easy, huh?
Yeah,
all right.
That's
well,
easy.
You make sure you connect with her and let her know how things are going and do what she told you to do and stay focused, because it's only just a thing, right?
It's just a thing.
Yes.
It's just a thing.
Well, I've walked the roads many times, so, you know.
I heard that. Thank you for calling. I'm going to see if we can't get
you?
Someone else.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So who are we talking to? You're on the air with Dr. Donna Lee.
Yes. Thank you all for taking my call. My name is Melvin.
Nice to talk to you. How may I help?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to, you know, I have, like, the last caller, I wrote things down, you know, try to reach, you know, for my goals and try to put things aside. But it seems like I'm just continuing to go through a lot of struggles in my life with my finances. And I just lost my son back in April, and now I'm not working at this time. And I just need to, like, what I'm trying to say is, how can I shake this negativity and offer me, you know, why I'm having so much bad luck, not bad luck, but just so much on my plate.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm sorry for the loss of your son. I lost my son in May 2008 from a brain tumor. He was 23, so I get it. And
yes, ma'am.
You have to understand that when a grief that large happens, it's going to almost cut you down in half spiritually at first, where you don't know what to do first or how to pull out of it. And it really is a process. And, of course, you're going to see there's good days and there are bad days, and it's only been a few months. So you have to change your expectations and not have such high expectations right now. You may need to even just take a breather and rest and do, if you meditate, do some meditation. Take care of your energy, because what happens, and I notice this with myself and clients when we go through a big grief, our energy is a little bit scattered. It just does, because we're overwhelmed. You may pull in the wrong thing. So what you want to do first before you get to your goals is step back from them for about a month or so and just really center yourself and say, I don't have to be okay tomorrow, but I will be better tomorrow, you know. And so it's step by step. And it does feel like negative energy when a lot happens. I remember I got audited, like, right after my son passed. I'm like, great, the IRS is auditing me. So things start happening even after one tragic event. For some reason, they kind of bundle up. So I would, you know, look at your goals, put them aside, and really just center yourself and get your energy back up to speed. Because do you feel that energy drop that usually comes with the grief? Have you been feeling that?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, ma'am. Every night.
Yeah.
Especially happen at night. And because I live alone. And
okay.
Yeah, every night.
And so trust me on this, because I've been there. And it's been, you know, almost 8 years. So I've come a ways, but the first 2 years were not good. I just kept doing what I was doing to deal. You know, I didn't really bring on a lot, you know, because first, you know, you have to center yourself. You have to find a way to adapt to your new life. Your new life is without your son right now, right? He's there spiritually but not physically, and that's a change. So that's priority for you to adapt. And then once you feel like your energy's coming up and you can say, okay, I'm still grieving but I can function, then look at those goals and you take just one of those goals and you concentrate on that. And, you know, also if there's a grief support group, go. I went to a few. Even if you just go a couple of times, just go. Because if you live alone, it's not good energetically, because you could just swim in your emotions, right? There isn't any distractions. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so you know, once you meditate or whatever you do to center yourself, and you don't have to meditate for hours or nothing like that. I mean, sometimes 5 minutes makes a big difference if that's all you can handle in the beginning. And if you have to listen to a meditation tape, do it. You know, if it's hard to just focus, you don't have to sit in silence, because you have enough silence in your life right now. And, you know, you just kind of clear your head, take one goal, and really get very active with that goal, the one that you want the most. And when you do it, see, I'm doing this for myself, but I want my son to be proud of me that I am moving forward, because I have no choice but to move forward because I'm still here.
That makes sense. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and I try to, I was kind of covering up a lot, you know, working, but now I'm not working, and it's like I'm a hard worker, and I was let for no reason. But do you see where, you know, I'll be getting a job anytime soon?
You know what? I get it's going to take up to 5 weeks, because that's when you really feel ready. But it's very important to have that job, because when you're grieving, you need a little bit of distraction. so that you're not overwhelming your emotions with the grief. And so it's coming, and that's one thing I would say. If I were you, I kind of say the affirmation that I am ready to go to work. I'm ready to be in that environment. It will be good for me. You know, start talking to yourself in that manner. And because it looks like the right job shows up within 5 weeks for you. And it's a little bit different from what you're doing, a little bit twist of what you normally do, but it's to keep you creative also, because you have to find your creativity. You know, a lot of hands-on creativity for you.
Yeah, because I'm a football coach, and I applied for a football coaching job at the high school I used to coach at, and I said that's my dream job. I want to go back to help the young kids. Coach. So I missed the head coach today, but I'm going to go by his office tomorrow. You think maybe I will get a job back at my high school there?
You will get that job, but that's probably why it takes that long, because there's a reason why it takes that long. It's some type of process. They're doing additional background checks, too. So
yeah.
So that's why, but I think that's good. And if there's any day that you can work a little bit late, even if you're there wiping down lockers, I know you're not doing janitorial, but you want that distraction because you'll be doing something pleasant, right? Football.
Right.
And so, you know, kind of stay over, help extra, you know, because then you'll be more in of what you want to do, and that will help some of the grief also.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because that's my – dream job, and I know if I was back on the football field, I think I'd be okay. I'd make it through. So,
it would definitely
bless me financially, because I'm struggling right now big time. So it's sad.
Plus, you need a few more weeks to ground, but it'll come into play within 5 weeks. You're back to work. And you start feeling like there's a little bit of a path, a little bit of a light coming. But, you know, the unfortunate part is that you've outlived your son. But I know from being a medium that they expect us to follow through on our path on this side. They don't want us grieving, you know, so hard to where we can't function.
Right, exactly. So that's my dream, to go back coaching. And to also finish up school, because I'm about eight classes away from finishing up my degree in middle grade education, but I ran out of tuition, and I'm trying to find grants to finish up, and that will, you know, keep me busy, and also maybe a relationship would help out as well.
He looks like you've brought his energy up. His list is getting longer and longer now. It's awesome.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that was
your
goal.
We're going to run out of time.
Five or six things I need to write down tonight.
We're going to run out of time. So what I want to do is encourage you to connect with Dr. Lee so that you can continue this discussion, because I'm going to have to end the show here in a couple of minutes. I want to make sure I give her some final thoughts. So can you make sure that, can you state your website address again? I believe it's Dr. Donna Lee.
.com. So DrDonna Lee.com.
Okay.
And so
yes,
I wish
ma'am.
You lots of love and lots of success and prosperity. And check in with her and check in with me and let me know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you all so much.
All right, thank
for
you. Take care.
Okay, God
take
bless.
Care, take
thank
care,
you.
Bye-bye. God bless.
All right.
So in your final words here, you got about a minute to spare here before we say goodnight. Is there any last thoughts you'd like to leave with the audience?
I would tell everyone, you know, start doing what you want to do instead of what you've had to do your whole life, because as you heard, tomorrow's not promised for any of us. And sometimes we get stuck, but it's because we haven't given ourselves permission to really live while we can. And so everyone, write down five goals and start working towards them. Don't see them as impossible, because we've all accomplished great things already in our lives. So take out the impossible and say, what is my strategy? And keep writing it down and ask the universe for help. Ask the universe to bring in, you know, people to help you with those goals if they require assistance. And
awesome.
Start having higher expectations, you know, because that raises the self-esteem that helps to heal. Because once we see our power, we're no longer feeling powerless, so it's easier to heal when there's a trauma or an event. So self-esteem, personal power, rules. It's
right.
The most important thing.
And we are done. Thank you for coming to our show. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you tonight. I'm looking forward to maybe having you another night.
Definitely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. I will send you some information and tell all your people to come listen to you on the rebroadcast.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Take care. Good night. God bless you.